Communicating the proposed macro plan or project charter. When we actually announce a project, it actually would start with a meeting, a conference where everybody's involved, everybody's told about how this project is going to go, how it's going to benefit the people around and the process around it or the systems around it. It's also very, very explicitly important. Why? Because it creates a bonding within a team. And so project manager helps the project manager to build in lot amount of rapport, lot of within the teams who are going to work for the project. Because as I said, it's all about people. People well managed in a project and working and looking towards the same goal will always help your project to get completed on time and in budgets. So use softwares to record and acknowledge responses. Feedback is inevitable. So always be very open for feedbacks. Always be very, very, very open to describe what you feel, and also same goes with the stakeholders. Allow them to talk and give you feedback, because every feedback will help you to improve as a project manager. The use software or soft communication medium like emails shall also be also ensure quick, instantaneous transmission of communication, information, acknowledgement, response, and feedback, irrespective of the physical distance. Now, as technology has taken over, it is important that I have a continuous movement of my communication and my complete information. So, something that I follow as a protocol is within 48 hours or 24 hours, I have to reply my emails. So whether it's SMS, whether if I'm not picking up calls of people for some reason, I got to respond them back the moment I have the time. Similarly, whether I have an email that has to be responded, I will respond to these emails based on looking at how can I respond. And if it is not something that you can do, it is important that you direct the email to the person who is responsible for it. So communication, again, an integral part. It's important for you as a project manager to communicate well with people with all verbal and nonverbal methods, which is like emails, SMSs, if you need a communication plan which requires posters, awareness around the society or your organization, or of course whether it's your verbal way of communicating and talk to people. Very, very crucial that you got to understand and talk to people in that language, that they understand it very clearly. So that takes us to the next slide. Use of video conference is also made extensively to beat the hindrance of distance. So quickly, if I tell you what are the strong mediums of communicating with your audiences, when I say audiences, with your stakeholders, is of course through emails, through SMSs, through a blog, through a video conference, to audio conferences that you can do, brainstorming sessions, to focus group discussions. These are the mediums that you can communicate with your stakeholders, whether it's internal or external. Getting input requirement from the stakeholders, again, very, very crucial from an initiation phase, where we have effective macro level planning and its communication will ensure that clarity about the project. So I need to get continuous feedback. I've been talking about it. Unless I get continuous feedback, I will not be able to plan my project well. And during the initiation phase, where my planning is the integral part and stakeholders are involved, it is important that I keep taking feedback. So what are the different ways of taking feedback? One is, of course, one-on-one. So I go to a stakeholder, I talk to him, I set up an appointment, I talk to him about a specific issue or a specific proposal or specific conclusion that I've come on with. So that's one. The second part of it is, of course, I write an email to the stakeholder, and the stakeholder responds. The other ways of taking feedback, which we've also seen in the earlier chapters, is focus group discussions or brainstorming session. Those are also feedback sessions where we can take current good feedback about the project, about the systems that you want to implement or the processes that you want to implement, and you can go ahead with that. Let's read through the slide. The effective macro plan and its communication will ensure the clarity about the project and will receive positively by the will be received positively by the stakeholders. Now it is a time to get necessary inputs for preparing a final definition of your project. Involvement of all stakeholders and functional leaders from this phase is necessary to build the bond and ensure stakeholders' commitment to the project. The input shall be sufficient for analysis against project management aspects and will be beneficial to ensure correct management plan in place. Now, to give you an example around this, if you realize, a lot of private projects, a lot of governed projects fizz out, and the reason they fizz out is because the stakeholder commitment goes on toss. So if I have a strong stakeholder commitment, which talks about, to the people that, okay, everybody is involved at this right time, everybody is required at this right time, and everybody has to be committed to the cause that you're building this project for. Hence, it becomes important that you have a commitment from your entire project management team. This helps us in having a thorough commitment from the stakeholders. If my stakeholders are committed to my project, you will find that the results that I'm delivering are far better than anything else. So that takes us to the next slide of this, which talks about the tools and techniques to collect input. So there are techniques, there are tools that we can use to collect and gather input. So let's read through the slide and I'll explain you later how it is done. Various proven scientific tools and techniques are used to collect requirements for final project definition. These cover a wide spectrum of tools and techniques ranging from simple interview to complex tools like data analysis or network analysis using various softwares. Such requirements generated for various aspects of project management are subsequently used for further analysis. Now, when I say further analysis, what do we mean by that? So let's look at step-by-step process. So the easiest one is one-on-one discussion with the stakeholders, which is done at a very, very prime level, a very initial level. The other is, of course, when we decide that there is a team and then you come together and brainstorm for processes. The other mechanism is, of course, forming blogs and discussion forums that you can get the input from. The data analysis tool, one of them is called SAP, the other is called, or it's built through an ERP. All these softwares will help you to take information which is absolutely accurate when it is required for your project. So when I say data analysis, my project actually flows through various stages. And when I have my initiation, if I have a lessons learned from a project that I have initiated and completed earlier, I can use that data to work on my new project. So that is something that is called data analysis and network analysis using softwares. Now, some more aspects on it. Reading through the slide, we see that most of the requirements of overall projects interfacing and integration management are taken into consideration while preparing the project charter. Now, this is a new word again, which we're talking about. It's called integration management, and I'm going to take you through that as well. The project charter, along with the requirement of other project management aspects, organizational environmental factor and organizational process assets are considered inputs collected for the project management aspect. So when I say that, what do you mean by that? So what are the inputs that are required to prepare a project charter? Of course, I need to have a overall interfacing stakeholders who will be involved into it. I need to have people who can give me information around it. The other thing is called as environmental affecting factors, so or organizational environmental factors, which means what is the kind of culture that I'm having in the organization? What is the kind of culture that I have with the stakeholders? What is the kind of culture at the customer point of is the culture? So these are environmental factors and policies that we have. We have organizational process assets. So I might have a lot of set processes already in my organization. So what are those that I can use during my project? So that's called organizational process assets. Those become key factors of inputs to my project management, to my charter, ideally. So following are the environmental factors or organizational environment factors. So as I said, government or industry standards. I need to have an ISO certification or ISO 2000 certification for some product. Okay, so or my company needs to be ISO certified is one of the standards that I had. I need to have safety requirements, a risk involved in operations. So as I was giving you an example of oil and gas, it's important that I have a stake, you know, safety security measures around it. So organizations are tagged around a system which a government would give you or which a state government or a central would give you that, okay, this is something, this is the standard where you have to work from the safety measures. Typically in the civil industries, typically in construction industry, or typically in oil and gas industry, typically in a nuclear industry or the industry for civil defense or defense industries. So this is where the safety requirements are given in. Existing infrastructure, it could be physical or it could be an intellectual property. Existing information system, what is the mode that I can communicate? Are those systems in place already or that? Management practices, as I spoke about, policies that I might have, which I have to describe in my project, which are required. Similarly, personal administration, example, recruitment, performance, and performance review, is they all in place? So if I need to review people on their performance, how am I going to do that? Do I have a LMS, do I have a HRMS in place when I start doing during my project? Because people, when they work, they would demand results, and once you demand results, they will also require something to be given back. So I need to have a strong monitoring system around it. Information about these can be easily collected through the existing operational policies and administrative guidelines. So whether somebody is, to as simple example as is, some, if I need somebody on a project and I do not have a leave policy in place, it's going to deteriorate because I don't know when the person is going to go on leave, it might be on the days when my project requires him or her at a crucial stage. So that's hence policies play a very important role. Hence standardization plays a very important role when it comes to any project management. Let's look at project interfacing, collective requirements of project interfacing and integration management. So what is integration management? Let's look at the word and try understanding it from a point of view. So when I say integration, what do you mean? The word integration means mixing everything, getting everything together, integrating everything together. So let me give you an example. If you look at an automobile, you look at a car, every part of an automobile is actually manufactured separately. All right. However, they come to one place and are assembled on an assembly line. So that assembly line is actually the integration of the car. So if all my products are kept separately, am I going to call it as a car? No. I'm going to call it as a car when it is actually running. Unless all the aspects of my project are integrated, I will not have a car. I might just have spare parts of the cars. So important is that I need to learn the art of integrating things, and I need to learn the art of making. I need to know the art of cooking for this. Why I say cooking is because if you look at it, every ingredient that you would have on a recipe, if they are not put in the correct measures, while preparing a dish, your dish is not going to taste tasty. So important is I need to learn the art as a chef while I'm doing my project management. How can I integrate people? How can I integrate cost? How can I integrate time? How can I integrate schedule, the softwares, the lot of aspects of it in one piece, so that my project is created. And once my project is created and I'm executing it, I'm very, very sure that the way I'm monitoring it, it's going to give me success. So that's the way I look at integration. And hence, integration management is also called as the one of the knowledge areas of project management when it comes from project management of the professional body of project management. So that's something that is very, very important. Integration, just remember this word, integration. Unless you integrate the information that you have in the right format, in the right structure, your project will not take shape. So hence, reading through what is integration management, let's look at this. The organizational process assets that can influence the project management includes standard guidelines, which we've spoken about, whether it's a leave policy, whether it's a communication policy, whether it is a documentation policy, whether it is moving on to people management policy, whether it's the increment policy. You need to have the standard guidelines for all of these work instructions. So what kind of work culture am I? Do I have a work from home option? I need to come on the site? When I recruit people, I got to tell them that you got to work on the site or in the office, or you have people who can work from their home, especially ladies when they work, they are very dedicated, but there are things that they have to take care of, and hence a lot of organizations also give a work of home option for them. Proposal evaluation and performance measuring criteria is something that you got to have, because unless I know where to go, I don't know every road is okay. This is the third time I'm saying this. The reason I'm saying this is because, as I told you, I need to monitor people. I need to monitor my project very, very well. If I do not monitor and control the aspects of it, people assume their work in a different manner. And hence, the most critical factor of a project manager is to show people the way he is looking and the way the project has to be dealt in. Similarly, existing change control procedure. Now, this is the new word that we're introducing, which is called change control. Now, what do you mean by change control? So, let's see, I have decided on a route that I'm going to pick up. And there are three, just assume that there are three friends, and you have separate cars, and you have you plan to go for a trip. So, if you plan to go for a trip, and you've assumed that, okay, you're going to take NH4 highway, to reach a place like Goa, and so there are two, three modes of reaching Goa. I can go by sea. I can travel by sea. I can go by air. I can go by road. And in road, I have three, four other mechanisms. I take a Goa highway. I take a NH4 highway. I take a Bangalore highway. So I have a lot of other ways of doing it. If once it is decided, okay, this is the route that we're going to take to. So we're going to fly down to Goa. And the moment we're going to fly down to Goa is the concept. So everybody, three friends and their families are ready to fly to Goa from Mumbai. However, one of the family says, all right, I can't fly because I have some work in X place, and then I will come back. So that's a change that's happening. So when there is a change that's happening, it's going to affect my entire journey. Why? Because it might reduce my discounts on air flights. It might consume more time for the other party to come there. It might ensure that my bookings would at the hotel would have some variation. So important is I need to have a change control mechanism in my project. Though it's a very easy example that I gave you, but from a project management point of view, it is crucial that I have a mechanism which talks about how do I manage change. Because why? Change is very difficult. People work in their patterns. People like to work in their patterns. Now, while I'll give you an example of how change is difficult, let me ask you a question. How many of you have gone to a dentist? I'm sure all of us in some period of time, at least at the age that we are in, at least once we visit the dentist. Now, why do we, you know, once, the, you know, you go to the dentist and he checks your oral health and he says, you got to brush, you know, nicely. So you got to brush twice a day, and then ensure that you on the left hand side you've been cleaning it for 40 times, and the left right side you're cleaning for 40 times, and every time when you do that, your oral health is safe. So what do? Next morning you get up, you try doing that, and then you did wow, and you feel good. The second morning you do it. The third morning you do it. But the fourth morning you're getting late for your college or your office, and you say, all right, just skip it. It's okay. And the moment you say it's okay, you're not going to do that again. And it is such a small thing. But you know why we're not able to do it? It's because we're born with patterns and we do certain things with patterns. Now, if we do certain things with patterns, it is very difficult for people to change. No. So what happens from a project point of view is you try to get into things which will ideally not give you the results that you want to. Hence, there has to be a formal change control mechanism. So anything that is decided and is now changing due to change circumstances, you need to have a legal document justifying that change. Now, if you don't justify the change, there are 50 people working on the project, 50 people will have 50 different mechanisms of working, all right? And you don't know where your project is going. So whether it's in terms of your money, or which is budgets, whether it's terms of your time that the project is going to take, whether it's terms of the processes, systems, methods, you need to have a formal change document that is approved by your stakeholders and typically by your organizational stakeholders. When I say organizational stakeholders, I'm talking about the HODs, I'm talking about the MDs and the CEOs and X level of the company, which is crucial, because if I don't let them know what is changing, it might just backfire me as a project manager. So that was about existing change control process, historical project data, recent project documents, historical learning data and lessons, engineering softwares and its versions. Information about these also can easily be collected from the existing engineering and quality systems, documents and records. These inputs are used in subsequent phases for analysis and generating the overall project management plan, which coordinates all subsidiary plans and integrates them into a comprehensive project management plan. So we will go step by step around everything and then we talk about it. However, once we're doing that, we will learn that there is a lot other things that we can, you know, integrate. And by the way, while we're going through this module, this is something that you can use in your day-to-day life. If I understand this into my day-to-day life, I will be able to be a better administrator of whatever I do. So let's look at this project management scope. So project scope management is one of the knowledge areas of project management. So I'll read through and then we will go for an explanation. The project scope management refers to defining the scope, developing and monitoring control in over the entire project phase. For example, a building, an airport, the project scope may start from survey of the land, travel through acquisition of land, construction of airstrips, construction of building, construction of other facilities, and so on up to the facility ready for flight to take off. In such expertise, it's required to break the scope in manageable units and defining the unit-wise scope, developing, monitoring, and controlling it over the entire project phase. To do this and identify the requirement tools and techniques, like we need the first one, which is called as WBS. I've given you the definition of WBS. It says work breakdown structure. Now, why is it important? If you remember, I gave you an example of if I have an elephant and I have to consume that elephant, you know, as big as elephant. If I want to consume that, I need to break it into pieces. You know, you generally when you sit for food, you do you get your plate which is full. You just don't gulp it. You take a bite by bite, right? Now, why is it important? Because you break it down into small pieces and then start working. WBS should consider, and should have statutory and legal norms, engineering expertise that are required, organizational historical data, which is also called as the lessons learned from previous projects, government regulations, management, market condition knowledge, which is also called as the market intelligence and is a separate subject altogether, and project schedule and timelines, etc., will be used while creating a WBS. Collecting requirements for project scope management. How do you do that? Project scope management has a manageable scope unit, which means there will be small chunks that I will have which will help me to identify the objective of that activity, and post that activity I can go ahead and actually deliver it. Similarly, I will have reports on market condition. When I say reports on market condition, what do we mean by that? We're talking about market intelligence. Now, market intelligence itself is a very, very important subject. So I want to give you an example of how a Coke industry or maybe a soft drink industry. So when I'm talking about Coke, I'm talking about softwares. So if I'm talking about the cold drinks. So when I'm talking about cold drinks, let's assume that Coca-Cola as a company wants to launch a drink. So what would Coca-Cola do as a company when they want to launch a drink? They would go ahead and actually talk to people, consumers, take feedback, take surveys, understand what is the competition doing, and once they have a clear definition of the entire market conditions, they will then form an exact time. So what's a good time to launch a drink? Summers, do you agree with this? Summers is the best time to actually launch a drink. Why? Because it's a cold drink at the end of the day. People feel thirsty. If I have a drink that can hit the correct taste bud of the people during summers, then my project will be, you know, immensely hit. And we've seen these things happening. And I'm sure you will relate to the example that I'm talking about. Years back, when Mirinda was launched by Pepsi, it was always launched during summers. But you know, years back when Mountain Dew was launched, it was launched in summers. When Thumbs Up, a new bottle or new packaging was launched, it was launched in summers. So if you notice that summers are great time to launch the product for a cold drink industry. So this is how market intelligence helps you to identify when to launch a product, how to launch a product, and typically move on to better profits and project feasibility. So this takes us to the other aspect of it, which talks about the organizational requirements. So organizational requirements or organizational culture requirements. So is my organization an outgoing organization? Is my organization going is a thirsty organization? Is my organization an aggressive organization? Is my organization a subtle organization? So I was working, so I wouldn't be able to name the organization right now, but I was consulted for an organization which was into automobile, and there was a senior position that was to be filled, and I spoke to the senior gentleman from one organization, and he was apt. I mean, the new organization actually got everything that they wanted. However, the HR head of the organization actually did not. The technical head, of course, cleared the interviews, but the HR head did not. And the reason when I asked him, what do you think? Why haven't you selected this individual? The HR head said the organization that he comes from is a little reactive organization. It's a safe playing organization. Okay, so they do not take much risk, and the organization that tomorrow he would come in, that is our organization, is absolutely risk worthy. We are okay to take risk, we are okay to explore markets, and hence he doesn't fit into the culture of my organization. So organizational culture requirements play this crucial role when you work as a project manager. So your decisions will be based on what kind of culture you work in the organization. Infrastructure requirements to meet the scope, as simple as, do I have conference facility, a video conference facility? From that simple require infrastructure, or till maybe a telecom one where I actually require, you know, thousands of towers to get a circle. In telecom, it's called a circle, a Maharashtra circle or a Mumbai circle or a Delhi circle to be launched. I need a lot of infrastructure, right from my towers to my BTSs to my MSCs and my office and my network. Everything has to be in place before I go ahead and launch a circle. So that's the infrastructure requirement to meet every scope. Policies and procedures that are required, as we said, the policies could be internal or external, typically depending on what is this project that you're doing. And the list of discrepancies and issues of the scope. So, list of discrepancies is also the list of things that I anticipate as risk. So, risk can be mitigated in different ways. In the coming slides and chapters, we will talk about that as well. The next is the list of assumptions made. So list of assumptions are any project will have an assumption. In layman term, what is an assumption? Intelligent guess. So which is based on a logic, which says, okay, because because of the global warming issue, the temperature of Earth is rising, which means that, okay, it's an assumption that, so it's stated that global warming is taking place and, you know, the temperature of the Earth is going up. So that's a good assumption to actually start off an environmental safety project or a go green kind of a project. Sequence and stages identified. So you need to have a logical sequence of how your project is going to go. These requirements generated will be on a broader scale. Any additional information, data, document clarification shall be arranged for the concerned parties. This also talks about the project initiation stage. So the next thing that we're going to do when it talks about project initiation, we're going to talk about collecting requirements for time and schedule management. So time and schedule, what is the difference between time and schedule? So time is how much and schedule is when. So just remember this. When I say I'm talking about time, I'm talking about how much, the quantity. And when I'm talking about schedule, I'm talking about the duration, when it's going to happen. So that's what, nutshell, we're going to do right now. We'll talk about the project time and schedule management.